Europe is experiencing a severe heat wave that scientists are now attributing specifically to a jet stream blocking pattern rather than El Niño, an important scientific clarification with policy implications. Jet stream blocks occur when the normally wavy, eastward-moving river of air in the upper atmosphere stalls over a region, preventing the usual progression of weather systems. When a blocking high-pressure system parks over Europe in summer, temperatures beneath it can climb for days or weeks without the moderating influence of moving air masses.
The distinction from El Niño matters because jet stream blocking is a phenomenon where climate scientists have detected a potential link to Arctic warming. The Arctic amplification hypothesis suggests that as the Arctic warms faster than mid-latitudes, the temperature gradient that drives the jet stream weakens, making it more prone to these blocking patterns. If that link is real and robust, it means heatwave frequency and duration in Europe could increase independently of El Niño cycles, which would have significant implications for European infrastructure, agriculture, and public health planning.
In the U.S. West, the Storm Prediction Center is warning of major fire weather escalation this weekend across western states. Utah is already managing 349 active wildfires. That number alone is worth sitting with for a moment. An incoming trough is expected to bring wind gusts above 40 miles per hour with single-digit humidity percentages. Those are conditions where any ignition source can produce a rapidly spreading fire. The combination of drought stress from a dry spring, early season heat, and this incoming wind event creates what fire meteorologists call an extreme fire weather situation.
The COVID vaccine study story has a concerning dimension beyond the science itself. The study, which found that the 2025 to 2026 COVID vaccines cut hospitalizations by roughly half, was blocked from release by acting CDC Director Jay Bhattacharya over methodology concerns. The study then was published directly in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, after peer review. The question that raises is about the appropriate role of political appointees in determining which government-funded research reaches the public. Science agencies have always had political leadership, but the norm has been that peer-reviewed findings aren't suppressed by department heads. That's what the peer review process is for. JAMA publishing it anyway is a reassertion of independent scientific publishing norms. And the substantive finding, 50% reduction in hospitalizations, is clinically significant.
Before we close this segment, let's do our what if we're wrong exercise on the topic that's generated the most confident consensus this week. The claim that AI infrastructure investment is going to continue at its current pace, and that the technology will produce economy-wide productivity gains on a time frame that justifies current valuations. Jensen Huang says the ROI debate is over. Every major bank has AI investment as a core thesis. The prevailing view is essentially that we are in the early stages of a fundamental economic transformation, and the companies building the infrastructure for that transformation are correctly valued.
So let me take the skeptical position here, because I think it's genuinely underexplored. The core assumption in the bull case is that AI capabilities will continue to improve rapidly, that organizations will successfully integrate AI tools into their workflows at scale, and that the resulting productivity gains will show up in GDP and earnings within the next 2 to 4 years. What if that integration timeline is wrong by a factor of 3? Enterprise software adoption. Even genuinely transformative software typically takes 7 to 10 years to penetrate an industry deeply enough to move aggregate productivity statistics. The PC was commercially available in 1981. The productivity gains from computing didn't show up clearly in macroeconomic data until the mid-1990s.
The famous Solow paradox. You can see the computer age everywhere, except in the productivity statistics, ran for more than a decade before the technology finally moved the needle. And the honest version of that history is that the productivity gains did eventually arrive, and they were large. So the technology optimists have a legitimate historical precedent. But so do the skeptics. The timeline was much longer than anyone expected at the time. And many companies that bet their balance sheets on the early phase of the PC buildout did not survive long enough to see the payoff.
The specific assumption I'd probe is enterprise workflow integration. We have excellent evidence that AI tools work for specific well-defined tasks: code generation, document summarization, image production. We have much weaker evidence that organizations are successfully restructuring their workflows to capture the full productivity potential. Most of what's happening right now looks like augmentation of existing jobs rather than genuine process redesign. If that's the dominant pattern, individuals working somewhat faster rather than organizations working fundamentally differently, the aggregate productivity effect will be real, but modest.
Here's what I'd tell listeners to watch for as the signal that this bear case is actually materializing. Watch S&P 500 earnings per share growth in the technology sector for fiscal year 2026, reported in early 2027. The bull case requires that AI investing companies start showing revenue growth and margin expansion that reflects genuine productivity gains, not just increased AI spending. If the 2026 earnings season shows continued margin compression in the tech sector, despite massive AI investment, if the costs are growing faster than the revenue benefits, that's the empirical signal that the timeline assumption is wrong.
And a specific corporate signal to watch: Amazon's $200 billion AI infrastructure commitment. A WS CEO, Matt Garman, says half of white-collar jobs may change due to AI. If by mid-2027, Amazon's own headcount and productivity metrics aren't demonstrating that thesis internally, if Amazon is still hiring at the same rates for the same roles, that would be evidence that the productivity transformation is slower than the infrastructure investment implies.